Okay, good Ner Shabbos, everybody. The title of today's shiur is Prayer and Powerlessness. And we know that powerlessness is a important feature in recovery, right? In the third step, right? It says that we made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. Powerlessness is an important feature of recovery, and it's a very important feature in tefillah, as we'll see from this week's parsha. So, let's start with a question. If you look at the psukim announced to us at a certain point in the shibud, at a very interesting point, which we'll explain later why then. But the Pesukim announced to us that Hashem heard the prayers of the Jews. It says in Perek Beis, Pasuk Chakimel, Vayehi vayamim rabim ahem, it was after those many days, Vayamach Melech Mitzrayim, and the king of Mitzrayim passed away, Vayanchu v'nei Yisroel min havodah vayizaku, the Jews, they groaned from the hard work, they cried out, Vatal shavosam Elohim min havodah, and then their cries went up to Hashem from the hard work. Now this is already way, way into the Shibud. And then it says, Vayishma Elokim es na'akosom, Hashem heard. It says, Hashem remembered the bris. It says, Vayar Elokim es b'nei Yisrael, Vayeda Elokim. Lots of Lashona, seeing, understanding. Something happened here, where an awareness penetrated that didn't penetrate before, that all these fields were heard. If I could just make a very quick suggestion, there's a way to mute the sound. I'm not exactly sure how to do it. There's a way to do it. You have to push a certain button to mute the sound. But if not, perhaps you should do it on your phones or whatever that you're listening on, because the background noise really adds up from different people. So maybe later on, I'll look up how to mute the sound from the computer. But meanwhile, try to keep that in mind, to mute your phone unless you're going to say comments or questions later. Okay, so anyway, at some point in the middle of this terrible, terrible Shibud and oppression, at some point it says Hashem heard the tefillos, and many different Lashonos are used, and the Ramban notes that Hashem heard, Hashem saw, their cries went up. All of a sudden, at some point it comes through, and that's the big question. Why then? So we'll hold on to this question, and we'll take a look at another event in the parasha. It says in Perek Beis, Pasuk Aleph, Vayelech Ish mi Beis Levi, Vayikach es Bas Levi. Right? It says that a man went from the house of Levi and he married a daughter of Levi, according to the Medrash. This was Amram, who remarried Yocheved, right? Because the question is really, what's the lashon of Vayelech? Where'd he go? He didn't go anywhere. Where'd he go? So he went, and means he had to travel some mental or emotional distance and take upon himself something new. So the Gemara in Sota and Daf Yud Beis and Aleph says, La'echon holach, where did he go? Amar Rav Yehuda bar Zvina, Shaholach batzas bito. He actually followed his daughter's advice. Tana, we learned. Amram gadol ador hoya. Amram was a gadol ador. Kivin shara'a. Shamar paro ha'rasha. Once he saw that Paro said, "Kol ben hayelod hayor tashichu," that all the children that are born should be thrown into the Nile, Omer lashav anu amelin. He said that we are working for nothing, meaning we are having children for no reason because they're going to get killed anyway. Amad, he stood up, the girishes ishto, and he divorced his wife. So what Amram did, everybody else did. Am the kulam the girishes nishasein. Amrlo, everybody else got divorced. Amrlo bito. His daughter, Miriam, said to him, Abba, Kashik Zeirascha Yosef Mishal Paro, your Gzeira, your decree is even worse than Paro. Shepar Alo Gozer Elo HaZachorim, Paro only decreed on the males, only the male children would be killed. Zata, Gezarta, Al Zachorim Vanakevos. Paro Alo Gozer Elo Vanazet. Paro only deprived the children of life in this world. Zata, Bolom HaZeh Ulam Abba. And you, by not allowing the children to be even conceived, are depriving them of even an experience in Olam Haba. Even if they live only for a moment, they have an experience of Olam Haba. You're depriving them of that. One more thing. Paro Rasha, Safek Miskayemet Viroso, Safek Einem Miskayemet. Paro, you don't know if his decree is going to come up, if it's going to come true. Ato, Sadik, Bavadai, Sikzeiros Kvam Miskayemet. But you are tzaddik, and for sure it's going to come true. And then he Amram took the Musar from his daughter, and he remarried Yocheved, and that was how Moshe was conceived, and everybody else did too, and it was a very important event. There is some background noise again. If someone knows how to mute their phone, they should really try to do it, or keep the background noise to a minimum.
Okay.
Anyway, so
yeah, push *6. *6 will mute the person's phone.
So please, all of you push, and then when it comes to questions, you know, you can do *6 again, and then it toggles off. Okay.
Yep.
Okay, so let's talk about Amram and Yocheved for a second. Let's talk about Amram and Yocheved again. Let's understand that Amram and Yocheved, they really were involved in not being powerless. They really were at the moment, they were really overthinking, right? Because they... I'm going to declare powerlessness over the noise, so I'm just going to ignore it. But anyway, Amram and Yocheved, they were thinking, why should we bother to have children? It's not going to do anything. L'shavonu amelim. That was, you know, I was trying to control. The daughter, right, she was a child, who doesn't think the daughter, told them that you're making a big mistake. So, and actually, the Gemara in Bava Basra Daf Day says, "Am Rav Yochanan, miyom shacharah beis hamigdash nitlu nevuim and neviim, v'nitlu l'shotim." At least in Oklahoma, that when the beis hamigdash was destroyed, nevuah was taken away from the neviim and it was given to shotim and tinokos. So it was given to fools and children. Why was it given to fools and children? It means that people who recognize, who don't have, it's not a matter of recognition, they don't have a lot of sophistication, they don't have a lot of guile, they don't make up stories to themselves, they don't filter things.
Can I interrupt you for just one second? Hello?
Sure. Yes?
Are you connected through a computer?
No.
You're not connected through a computer?
No.
If you're connected through a computer on the master sign-in control, you should be able to mute everybody. To get rid of the background noise.
That's a great idea. I don't know how to do it.
Because obviously people are not aware of the noise they're making, and they're talking to other people, and it's just very distracting.
It really is, even though I declared my powerlessness over it, but I give you permission to not be powerless about it. Please,
I'm not powerless about it, and it's kind of upsetting.
Listen, Rabozai, even if you think it's not you, just press *6 anyway. Just to be machmir. Just *6. And we'll all be a lot
happier. Thank you. I'm sorry for interrupting.
No, it was actually Bitula Hikiyuma. You did a good
thing. If you're on the host code, you can press *5 and mute everybody.
Okay, hold on. I'm going to do
there you go. Thank you.
That is great. Thank you so much. That's perfect. Okay. So the only problem with this is that I have no idea if anybody's on the line, but I'm going to have to do that on face. All right, because I hear nothing now. So let's go Vayita again. So what we're saying is that basically that Amram and Yocheved originally, they made a cheshbon, that L'shavonu amelim, it's a waste of time, but that, to a degree, was a mistake of not being powerless. And only a child that understands powerlessness because they don't have any guile comes to them and says, no, you're not. You're doing worse than Paro, and points out really what's the obvious. So there's a lesson there of how to relate to problems. You do the next right thing. You don't overthink. You don't make cheshbonos 6 steps ahead in an impossible situation. Now, the truth is, Ezeo Chachama Roas Anolad, of course, in life, one should be strategic. But when you're in an impossible situation, you have to have a certain degree of bitachon and not overthink. And that was Amram Yocheved. That's what they learned from Miriam. They changed their approach. Now, there's a very similar incident with Chizkiyahu. The Gemara tells us about Chizkiyo that it's in Malachim Beis, Perachaf, Pasuk Aleph. By Yama Mehem Chala Chizkiyo, Chizkiyo became very ill. Lamas, deathly ill, mortally ill. By Yavo Elov Yishayo Ben Amot Hanavi, Yishaya, the Navi came to him, by Yom Reilov, and he said, Kom Hashem Tzvakos, Tzavla Veitzcha, go make your will. Ki meis ata v'lo sichya, because you will die and you will not live. And what's the reason? So the Gemara says, Mishim t'lo asakta b'pri revia, because you were not osing b'pri revia. You were supposed to have children and you withheld having children. So Chizkiyahu said, I've got an excuse. I saw in my Ruach HaKodesh that I would have children that would not be worthy. Indeed, Menashe, the evil king Menashe, shall we say, came from Chizkiyahu. So Yishayahu gives him back a very strong musar, and he says, why do you have any business with the secrets of Hashem? Maidem bifkad iboilach lamebed. What you are commanded, you must do. Umandanicha kamikut shebrichu, and whatever Hashem wants, live it, he will do. And then, interestingly enough, just as an interesting side note, Chizkiyo makes a counteroffer to Shiyo. He says, okay, then I'll marry your daughter if you're not, if you know, you put your money where your mouth is. But that's a separate discussion. But in any case, the point is Chizkiyo made the same mistake. He also did overthink. And he also didn't understand his powerlessness. But look at what Yeshaya says to him. Just very powerful words. So it's worth hearing them again. Bahadi kavshad rachmona lamalach. What do you have with the secrets of Hashem? What business do you have with the secrets of Hashem? May the miskato iboyloch lamevet. What you're commanded, you have to do. Umanda nicha kame kuchibrichu. And whatever is Hashem's will, Levit, he will do. So, again, you know, when you're in a difficult situation, you do the next right thing. You do the next right thing. Now, Paro is the opposite of powerlessness, right? Paro is, Mi Hashem Asher Eshma Bakolo, right? Who is Hashem that I have to listen to him? Interesting, there's a Kli Yakar, a really, really clever Kli Yakar. It says in the Pasuk, Vayakom Melechodesh al Mitzrayim Asher lo yadas Yosef. And a new king came up on Mitzrayim who didn't know Yosef. Of course, the Pashup Shad is that he didn't have any Hakaras at all to Yosef. But the Kli Yakar says something really clever. He says he did not know the story of Yosef. The whole story of Yosef is that as much as the brothers tried to thwart the will of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it came true anyway. And Paro wanted to try to thwart the prophecy that the Jews would have a Moshiach, they'd have a Savior. Paro tried to thwart that prophecy, and actually, Kasher Yanu Ken Yifrots, as much as they oppressed the Jews, the more the Jews spread and multiplied. That's the power. Paro didn't know Yosef. He didn't know the whole Torah around Yosef. Very interestingly also, there's a Medrash by the Tzfardeya. It says, Vatal HaTzfardeya, and the Tzfardeya went up. The Medrash notes it's singular. Again, the Pashup Shad is you can speak about animals and a lot of animals in a singular fashion. Behema could be plural. Tzfardeya could be plural. But the Medrash says that it really was one giant frog. Now, what happened? When they saw the frog, they hit the frog. When they hit the frog, to kill it, it split into two. And then every time someone saw a frog, they panic and they hit the frog, and it split again into two. And so the whole Makkah was actually self-generated. Now, I believe that the Medrash is driving at the problem of willfulness, that if you resist the will of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it multiplies the problem. And Telech Imi Bekeri, Afani Elech Imachem Bechamas Keri. If you treat things as happenstance and you don't do tshuva, I too will treat you as happenstance. So what happens is the Mitzrayim, they see the Tzfardeya, instead of accepting their fate and allowing it to happen, they try to kill the Tzfardeya. They kill the Tzfardeya, more Tzfardeya come. The more they try to kill, the more they try to come. That's what the Medrash is saying. Now, let's get back to our original question. So why did Hashem finally listen to their prayers? What changed? What changed now? before than after. And here there's interesting lashon of the Ramban. You can look it up. It's Ramban, Perek Beis, Pasuk Chafav. Ramban says, Avol bishenishma lazman, shagot nigzar aleihem, even though their time was finished, lahoy ruim ligo. The truth is, they were not fit to be redeemed. El v'nei atzaka kibol tfilos and barachalov, only because they cried out. Then Hashem, with mercy, accepted their tefillah. Now, al derech emes, yesh b'kosev eseh hazeh sod gadol misisrei haTorah. When the Ramban says derech emes, he means some type of chachmas anister, stuff that we really don't fully understand. And he's not going to explain it to you either, although we might get some hints of it. The Ramban says there is something here from the secrets of the Torah, a great foundational piece here, a great secret from the secrets of the Torah. Lomar, to say, ki ala inuyim lamor ponav, that somehow or another, the suffering of the Jews came before Hashem, and he, v'karavosam eladas, and he became, kavayocho, more aware of it. And he says, v'chein yarach akosu bazeh, and that's why the Pasuk says so many lashonos of hayishma elokim, hayizkir elokim, to stress that something different happened. The Ramban doesn't tell you what it is. He says it's one of the secrets of the Torah. Something different happened, that now the tefillos were heard. So what's the secret? So I can't really tell you, because the Ramban says it's a secret, so how in the world should I know? But I can tell you that that there may be hints in the other Mefarshim. We'll never really know for sure if it's Ramban. But let's take a look at what some of the other Mefarshim say, and we'll see if that seems to strike home. But that sounds like something the Ramban might have been saying. So the Or HaChaim in Perek Beis, Pasuk Chaf Gimel says, Minametsa Karasika, right? In great distress, one calls out to Hashem, Anoni. Then Hashem answers, B'merachav Ka. So he says, Ki achas me'atfilos amaskablos. One of the kinds of tfilos that are accepted, Hi tfilos shemitoch tzara. It's a tfilos that comes out of great distress. That you have to be in great distress. Furthermore, the Or HaChaim in Perek Gimel, Pasuk Tes, says, he says that Yesh hadragos betfilos hamugashos l'snei anetar. There are different madragos, different levels to tfilos that are brought before the one who we beseech. Yesh mehem shemevi'in otsam mesharsei elyon. There are some that are go by way of malachim, agents, ministering angels, magishim otsam lefon of Yisborach, and they bring the prayers to Hashem. The Yesh mehem shehem mu'ulim. There are those that are of a much higher, shall we say, voltage. They're so strong, they have so much wattage that they do not need a middleman, like Gimlis Ne'er Bore, to reach Hashem. Those prayers on their own come. And that was the prayers the Jews prayed at that time. So what's going on? Let's take a look. Sfarno says that because he says, Yoda nige levavam, Hashem knew their great pain. So I said, tfilosim tzakosim b'chol lev, because they cried out with their whole heart. And the Klei Yakar in Perek Gimel Pasuk Zayin, he also elaborates on this theme. It says, up until now, when the Jews were crying, they were krechsing, they were complaining, but they weren't really davening. Something happened that their prayers switched over from krechsing, from complaining, to really, really davening and reaching out to Hashem. And the final point is a very interesting vart that I heard from Rabbi Ganak in the name of Rabbi Salvechik, that by Chana, it talks about, right, Chana, whose tefillah in the end really worked, that Chana should have children? Well, again, we don't know the secrets of Hashem, but from the Pashup Shat and the Psukim, if you follow the beginning of Shmuel Aleph, it's only after Chana davens her prayer, and Raksel Se'anos, Gemara Brachos talks about that she was Mechadesh, the silent tefillah. Maybe silence is also a kind of powerlessness, but in any case, She was the Chadish, the silent aspect of Tefillah, and she davened quietly. She reached out to Hashem. It seems like her prayer did the trick, even though her husband, Elkanah, was certainly a tzaddik. So Yosher Ben Soloveitchik says a fascinating idea. He says that it's the nature of the woman to rely on her husband. Her husband's a provider. Her husband takes care of her. Deep down, the whole time, Chana was davening. Sure, she was davening. Every woman says Tehillim. She was davening also. She couldn't say Tehillim because David HaMelech wasn't around yet. Although they did have some mizmorim. You can see from other shiras Devora, other lashonas, even Chana shira. They had shiras, but anyway, whatever she was saying, she was davening. But it wasn't with a full heart because her husband Elkanah was a big tzaddik. She was relying on him. What changed? Something changed because Elkanah says to Chana at a certain point, "Hello, Tov, Li Me'asar Bonim, are you not better to me than 10 sons?" Elkanah was giving her a consolation prize. He was saying, "Listen, even though you don't have children, you are good to me like 10 sons." Now, what he meant to say to console her actually put her into despair. At that moment, she realized that Elkanah gave up. That Elkanah wrote a narrative in his head that I will love Chana for who she is, even though she can't produce children, which actually was very noble. But it put Chana in despair. And at that moment, she realized she can't rely on anybody. She's, you bet, powerless. She cannot rely on her husband's power. She cannot rely on her husband's tefillah. And then she threw herself in with all her heart into the tefillahs. And that was when her tefillah was niskabel, because it was a deep, deep tefillah, a tefillah coming from a sense of powerlessness. Now let's come back to the Yidden in Mitzrayim. And let's look at the psukim again. Vayhi vayomer harav mehem, vayomos nal Mitzrayim, v'yanchu b'nei Yisrael min ha'avoda v'yizaku. The first part of the pasuk says that the king of Mitzrayim died, and then the Jews cried out. Because what happened was, they were in a very difficult situation. But they said to themselves, eventually the politics are going to change. This king is going to die. A new king will come. This is all a mistake. We're good Jews. We participated in all the government activities. They really should love us. It's just this king, he's nuts. When Paro died, and the Jews saw that the same shibud, the same slavery, the same oppression was continuing, then their last rationale, their last shred of hope of a political redemption was blown apart. And like Chana, they felt incredible despair. And from that despair, they hit bottom. And from that hitting bottom, they became powerless. And from that powerlessness, their tefillahs first really were heard. And folks, again, it's hard to know what the Ramban is talking about because the Ramban says it's a secret. But I think that's what the Ramban is talking about, that a person reaches a point of total powerlessness and throws himself or herself completely at HaKadosh Baruch Hu with no guile, with the innocence of a child like Miriam. That's when the prayers are really niskabel. Okay, so this is what I'm going to do now. I'm going to unmute the phone and unrecord. So if anybody has any comments or questions, that's welcome. Just give me a second.